May only His word be spoken, only His word heard. Amen. Redeemed. My special text is from, it's a Christmas text actually, from Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. Hear the word of the Lord. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself up for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. This is the word of the Lord. Well, one of my favorite stories at this time of the year, of all time, is about a woman who waited until the last minute to buy some Christmas cards. She rushed into the store, bought a package of 50 cards without really looking at them. Still in a big hurry, she addressed 49 of the 50 cards, signed them without reading the message inside. Don't ever do that. On Christmas Day, when things had quieted down, she chanced to read one of the cards that she had not sent. She casually admired the beauty of the front of the card and then opened it and read the message inside. To her shock and dismay, it said, "This card is just to say a little gift is on its way." Suddenly, she realized that 49 of her friends were expecting a gift that would never come, at least not at Christmas time. Well, the gift of gifts did come to us on Christmas 2,000 years ago, and it continues to make us joyful and heartened and give us hope. The gift, of course, is Jesus. But when the fullness of time had come, when the set time had arrived, when the perfect time had come in history, God sent forth His Son to be our Savior, to be our Lord. And of all the things that Jesus Christ has done for us, I want to focus today on He redeemed us. So this morning's message is about redemption. And I think of all the things that we have as a gift from Christ, redemption is, next to justification, often misunderstood. To redeem, to be redeemed, means to buy back from slavery, to ransom us. Now that is interesting for a lot of reasons, and that's why I think it's most misunderstood by modern men and women and all of us, right? So I want to look at some biblical references right off the bat. Biblical references that answer these questions. One, with what are we ransomed? Two, who needs redeeming? Three, who redeems us? And four, to what effect does this redemption have on our lives? So first of all, with what are we ransomed? Ephesians 1:7. In Him, Jesus, we have redemption through His blood for forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of His grace. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. For you know that it was not perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty life handed down by your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish or defect. So the first question is answered. It was with the blood of Jesus. And that's so important. It says that everywhere. And it harkens back to the fact in the Old Testament, it was the blood of animals and the lamb that brought peace with God. Now Jesus replaces all the sacrifices of the Old Testament by shedding His blood on the cross. Who really needs redeeming? Well, this is really easy, right? Romans 6, 23 and 24, for all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God, and justified freely by grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Have you ever known a perfect person? Beside yourself, maybe. Right? Have you ever known anyone who lived righteously? If you do, you didn't know that person, right? Because every one of us have flaws, great, great flaws, actually. We all need redeeming. Who can redeem us? Psalm 49, 7 through 9. No man can redeem the life of another or give God or ransom for him. The ransom for life is costly. No payment is ever enough that he should live on forever and not see decay. There's only Jesus who can redeem us. We can't redeem another person. We can't be so good that we offer them some of our benefits. We can't do that. My favorite illustration of this is one drowning person cannot save another drowning person. I've had the experience of almost drowning at Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I was going down, and suddenly someone grabbed me and looked like they were trying to hold me down under the water. And I fought with them, and I scratched them, and I did everything I could. And the next thing I know, I was on the beach. It was a lifeguard who was not on duty that day, but he was out swimming, and he grabbed me in a headlock like this because I was frantically trying to push him down, right? Because I thought he was killing me. This is what redemption is. Jesus is the lifeguard. He's the one and the only one who can redeem us from our sins. Now, to what effect will redemption have on us? Hebrews 9:14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? In our text, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. What effect will it have on us? It gives us the power to live for godly life. Now, the idea that we are slaves is repugnant to Americans, and really for most people in the world. It seems ridiculous. Most Americans would jump up and say, I'm not a slave. I am a free person. And we emphasize our freedom. But I want you to think of it in this way. Start by thinking of addictions. And many of you are likely to say, well, I'm not addicted to anything. Well, let's take the obvious ones. Addicted to alcohol. The people who are alcoholics, are they in control of their life? No, they're not. Many of them come to know it, and they want to be free of it, right? And they go to AA, they go to other places. Right? Drugs the same way. How about people addicted to lust, to sex? Does it do good things in their life? Do addictions do good things in their lives? No, they don't. But now we go down to the more hidden addictions, the addictions to fame, the addictions to success, to power, to money, to anger, to gossip. Almost anything can be an addiction that leads us to harm ourselves and others. Right? These are slavery, the power of sin over our life. Do these things have power over your life? Do we need redemption? Well, if you can't throw them off on your own, and you can't, then you need redeeming. Our sin nature, when we were born, is so deeply embedded that we don't even know it's having an effect on us. We can't throw it off. Our text, prior to redemption, calls it ungodliness, calls it worldly passions, a life that is not mastered by ourselves. Try as you will, you cannot throw off sin and addictions on your own. Now, people think they can. Oh, I mastered it. I stopped smoking. I'm not addicted anymore. I'm not an alcoholic anymore, right? Well, you might, for a time, replace an addiction, and I'm using that as a synonym for sin. But four more appear. Jesus said, you cast out one demon, and four more come and take its place. And that's the nature of our battle against sin. This is why the birth of Jesus the Savior is so important, so vital to us. He came as liberator, as one who can set us free. I want to read from, it's the New Living Translation, from Romans chapter 6. And it starts this way in verse 19. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living, so that you will become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from obligation to do right. And what was the result? You're now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness, that result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus the Lord. So, we who are redeemed are now slaves to God. We don't like that term slave so much, but what it means is we want to please our God. We want to go His way. We want to do things that lead us in the right way. And so, the practical effect of being redeemed is seen in us who are now pleased to serve the Lord and want to serve the Lord. I'm speaking to brothers and sisters in Christ here. You know, for, 40 years, I've been teaching an adult inquiry class. And I've seen some amazing things there with respect to redemption. I usually speak of this in one of the sessions in a longer way, but I'm going to shorten it today. I remember a man and what I thought was his wife come to my adult inquiry class, and I didn't know who he was. I hadn't invited him. I didn't know him at all. And he sat right in the front, and he was a rough-hewn kind of man. Had powerful forearms. I would learn later that he was a lineman for the county. You know, he was a worker on the electric lines. Anyway, he and his wife were there, and they had came every week without fail, because by that time I had 16 classes, 16 sessions. It was an ordeal for some, right? But I was going to pound Christ into them. Right. Anyway, he was there all the time, and even with all the questions I asked so that people would reveal themselves in the class, right? I never really understood what he was about, how he had come to the class. I was dying to know this, you know. I should have included in one of the questions, but I didn't. And after one of the sessions, around the 10th session, he came to me after the class and said, can I come and talk with you? I said, yes, come and talk to me. We set an appointment, and he came and talked to me. And he said that for most of his life, he had been an alcoholic, right? He had drank too much. And then he pointed to his wife, who never said a peep, you know, and said, "She is too." Right? He was confessing for her, I guess. And I said, "Oh, that's terrible." And so I immediately gave him this spiel about AA, go to the 90-day session. And he put his head down. He was so sad. I said, "Why are you so sad?" He said, "In your class, you said God could do it. God could free me." Well, I was on my heels. And I said, "Well, but God gives us things like AA and other helps, you know." And I still believe that, by the way. But he looked at me with an entrancing look in his face, like, "No, I'm not going to settle for this. You said God could do it." And I was getting a little perturbed at him, you know. I said, "Okay, you're going to do everything I say." I kind of like that power sometimes, you know. And he said, "Yeah, okay, yeah." He was all animated. She kept her visage very stoic-like, right? And I said, "You're going to be in church every time we have church. That means Wednesday night, Sunday morning." "Okay, okay, okay." "You're going to read the Word of God every day." "Yeah, yeah, 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 yeah," right? He was all for that. And then I said, "I'm going to give you a prayer partner. And this person will be able to call you any time of the day and ask if you've been drinking." He said, "Okay, okay." He didn't know what he was saying okay to. Because there was a lady in my congregation there in Alabama, and I would call her a Christian terrorist. One of her favorite expressions was, "I'll rip your face off." In Christian love. And I knew that she would call him just to call him in the middle of the night, you know. And he agreed to this, right? He agreed to this. Do you know, he left the office. Before he left, this was the real moving part. I said, "How did you come to this class?" Because I had no idea how he'd come. I had never met him before he came to the class. And he referred to a man who had come to the previous class, a man who had an addiction to cocaine. And his friend said, "You get free there. You get free there." My eyes were open to what it meant to be redeemed. I had really not understood the practical effect of redemption until that day when he said, "You get free here." And I said, "What do you mean?" "Oh, my friend, he's had a cocaine problem, but he doesn't have it anymore. He said he came to the class and he got free of it. He didn't desire it anymore." Wow. You said God could do it. My friend did get free of alcohol. He did. And that person did pray for him, but also called him at untimely times. Right. She lived up to her. Yeah. You see what redemption does? It reminds us that we have a new status. God has changed us from people of the world to his children. He's adopted us into his family. We're heir to Jesus and all that he did for us. Most importantly, redemption. And he sends the Holy Spirit into our life to knock off the chains, to really and truly free us, so that we want to serve God. We want to be his people. Have you ever seen the Jason Bourne movies? I really like them. I mean, I know they're violent and I shouldn't like them, but I do, you know. God forgive me. But if you haven't seen Jason Bourne movies, like The Bourne Identity, for instance, if you're not familiar with these movies, they are about Jason Bourne, a highly skilled CIA assassin. He was programmed to be a super agent, you know how movies go. And his past life and all his memories were erased. in The Bourne Identity, Bourne, played by Matt Damon. And here is what he questions about his life. He said, I can tell you the license plate numbers of all six cars outside. I can tell you that our waitress is left-handed and the guy sitting at the counter weighs 215 pounds and knows how to handle himself. I know the best place to look for a gun is the cab of the gray truck outside. And at this altitude, I can run flat out for a half a mile before my hands start shaking. Now, how would I know all of that? Asked Jason Bourne. How can I know that and not know who I am? Here's the great fact of redemption. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you know who you are. And you know where you're going. I'm a child of God. I'm adopted son. I am forgiven, redeemed, justified, and reconciled. I follow Jesus, and He has given me the Holy Spirit to help me go the right way in life, to please my God, who's given His life for me. Practically speaking, if you're going to live the redeemed life, if you're going to live that godly life, if you're going to go with the Lord, then you need to do a couple of things. You do. You will want to consult with God regularly. You're doing that this morning. You're worshiping God. You've come to hear a message that might have great effect on your life. It may. It's not me. It's the Word of God. You'll want to consult with Him also by reading His Word and listening to His Word. If you have never read the Bible through totally, and I've just got messages today that Debbie Leffel finished the Bible, and I'm so happy, because when you read the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, you put it all together, it gives you an experience of what our God's like, right? How much He intends to save us. How down through the years people rejected Him and yet He keeps coming back with His mercy and grace. All right? Read the most important book you could ever read. Read the Bible once in your life all the way through. And then you may not want to stop. Right? You may want to continue reading it. Listen to His Word. And in the Word of God, it tells you how you can please Him. It's very explicit. There's the don'ts. You know those. Don't lie, don't steal, don't slander, don't be sexually immoral, etc. But there are many to-dos. Do be grateful. Do love. Do be kind. Do be generous. Do be gentle with others. Do be joyful. Aren't those good things? Yeah, they are. That's one thing. Do consult with God. And then do pray. Prayer is a struggle for a lot of people. I have to admit myself, sometimes I say, God, I don't know how to pray as I should. I'm just like one of those disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. You know, my prayers are not what I would want them to be. Pray often. Pray about everything. Pray about little things and about big things. Pray on a schedule and pray spontaneously. Pray asking questions and pray asking for things. Pray with passion, pray out of duty. Right? And notice time goes by. What you considered coincidences now are clearly seen as the hand of God working. But most of all, and hear me this, most of all, pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to break the chains. The Holy Spirit comes to lead you in a life which we call sanctification, the good life. My brother and sisters in Christ, I know you're eager to please the Lord. You're here this morning because you believe. I think I know most of you. Some of you I don't know. But I think the majority of you are what we call true believers. You want to serve your Lord, and you love Him, and you want to worship Him. That's why you're here. So So here's a checklist to continue the redeemed life. It's very simple, right? Number one, remember who you are. You're a child of God. Even with all your failures and all the things, it never ceases to amaze me to remember I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm in His family. And when you're in the family, nothing can change that. You know, my children can really mess up. They don't, but I mean, they can really mess up. But they'll always be my children. I always love them. Well, the Father in heaven is like that. He'll always love you when you're in His family, right? Number two, connect with God. Consult with God. Worship Him, right? You never know when you come to a worship service what you're going to hear that is right from God to you, to you, to you, right? God has a message for you. So when you step into a church, doesn't have to be this one, God's speaking to you. Listen and pray to Him. That's number three. Pray for the Holy Spirit to fill your life. My friends, you are free. You are redeemed. So live free. In Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen. Would you please rise? May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.